A lot of times, when you captured an enemy, what you would do is that you would chain the enemy up and drag him through the streets. And as you drag your enemy through the streets, one statement that you were making is that my enemy is in subjection to me. One time, this was an opponent. One time, this individual caused me much harm. One time, this person was trying to overcome me, but I have subdued this person, and now I'm dragging this person around in the street. Paul said, I bring my body into subjection. He said, I make my body a slave.
In Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 3. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 3.
Next thing I saw I was in Crafton. I said, Crafton, how in the world did I get out here? And I said, let me just turn around. And I turned around and went back and somehow got back on track. And then I got on Carson Street. And I said, I know I'm in the right place now. And you know what? When I got on Carson Street, you know what? I picked up the speed a little bit. Why? Because I knew where I was going. And see, folk that don't know where they're going, you know, they're hesitant. They pull back. They don't give. Man, the choir sang, the deaf minister sang this morning, Lord, I'm giving my best to you. Lord, I want to give my all to you. You gave your best on Calvary for me. Now I want to give my best for you. You know what? You can't give your best when you don't know where you're going. But once you find out the direction that you're supposed to head, man, then you can just put everything into what God has called you to do. And let me say this. When I talk about self-direction and what Paul is talking about here, he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. Once again, when you run uncertainly, okay, which way? Which way? I'm looking for the marker. Which way do I turn? That's not what Paul's saying. Paul said, every step is purpose. Every step, I'm headed somewhere. And notice he follows it up with the analogy also. He says, and so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul said, look, he said, no, I'm not into this shadow boxing thing. You know, because you get out there and you start shadow boxing, what is that doing? All shadow boxing is doing is just wearing you out. You know what Paul says? He says, with every punch, pow, I'm landing the blow. Every punch, boom. I'm making it count. You know, it's something, you know, if you study boxers when they fight, and sometimes, you know, they'll get in that little huddle and close to each other, and they'll just be, you say, man, what in the world are they doing? They just wait. But you know what? Those punches are calculated a lot of times. Because what are they doing? They're wearing their opponent out. They're wearing them out. And that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying every punch that I take, I want it to have an impact. Every punch that I take, I want to land a blow that's going to make an impact on the situation that I'm dealing with. Self-direction. If you're going to find something to fight for, then you have to have a direction in which you're going. And let me say this, it's not your direction either. Because some people say, okay, well, let me find my direction, and then let me put all my effort into going my direction. No, the direction that I'm talking about is God's direction. And let me tell you something. When you go God's direction, you don't have to worry about anything. I had got invited to speak at a retreat for a church, and it was way out of the turnpike somewhere. And as I was going out there, I said, well, let me go on the internet to MapQuest and get some directions. So I went on MapQuest, and I got directions to go to this retreat at one of these resorts way out the turnpike. And as I was driving out there, all of a sudden I turned off the turnpike, where, like MapQuest told me to, and I'm driving back out there in the country roads, and there was a sign that said, road under construction. Please follow detour. So I'm following the detour, and then this, all of a sudden, there's no more signs that tell you where to go. And I'm thinking, man, no, this MapQuest thing. I said, I was through with MapQuest at that point. And I rode around once again, lost out there, and then I finally ran into some other people who got map directions from MapQuest, and they were lost too. And so we kind of got together and found out where we needed to go. But let me say this. This is my point. This is my point. See, if you find God's direction for your life and you find out where it is God wants you to go, see, God already knows where the road construction is. God already knows where the detours are. And so as long as I'm following God's directions, what is he going to do? He's going to take me around the detours because he's going to show me where they're at, and he's going to move me to the place where he wants me to go. See, MapQuest might let you down. MapQuest might not know about the road detours. MapQuest might not know about road construction. Oh, but we serve a God who's seen the beginning and seen the end. He sees the road along the way. He sees the roadblocks. He sees the hazards. He sees the dangers. And God will guide you through and around those areas. So when I'm talking about direction this morning, saints, I'm not talking about you having your own direction. I'm talking about you finding God's direction. And that when you find God's direction, you can go into it full speed. There was a guy who was moving a couch out of his house, and he couldn't get it out. It was about halfway through the door, and as he was moving this couch, he saw his neighbor, and he said to his neighbor, he said, hey, can you come and help me get this couch? Can you come and help me move this couch? So both of them worked on the couch. They were pushing and pulling for about 15 minutes. Nothing happened. And finally, the guy said, look, we're not going to be able to move this couch. You know, it's just useless. We just gonna have to leave it here. He said, I guess I'm not gonna be able to get this couch out of the house. And the guy, his neighbor said, what do you mean, out? Is that the way we do with God sometimes? God is pushing in one direction. We're pushing in another direction. Wonder why we're not getting anywhere. Wonder why we're frustrated. Oh yeah, you're fighting. Oh yeah, you have drive and you have motivation. Oh, yeah, you are doing the things that you feel you have to do. But how come the couch is not moving? Could it be because you're pushing against God? When I'm talking about direction, and I'm talking about self-direction, I'm talking about self-direction because you found that from God. You know, there's an interesting verse in Proverbs chapter 6, and it says to the sluggard, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider his ways. And then it says, who having no overseer or God. The ant does not have a God. The ant knows where to go. The ant knows how to collect food. The ant knows where to take the food. The ant has no God. Oh, but let me back up for a second. Does the ant have a God or does the ant not have a God? God instinctively put in the ant where to find the food, where to go for the food, and know how to get the food. So even though the ant has no guide, there's an instinctive nature that tells the ant what to do. We don't need a guide. We need to have the instinctive nature of God within us. And once we have that, we know the direction that it is we're supposed to travel, and we do what it is that God has told us to do. Paul said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth against the air. Paul said, every step that I take has purpose and direction, and every punch that I land, every punch that I throw has purpose and direction. Self-directive. And my final point, as we look at the behavior of someone who has a reason to fight, and that is self-denial. Self-denial. He says in verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Self-denial. in the games that Paul is talking about here. He's letting us know that the athletes had to train and they had to follow a strict set of guidelines. They couldn't be out here hip-hopping and partying. The athletes couldn't be out here carousing and boozing. The athletes couldn't be out here doing their thing, but there had to be some discipline in their life. And with that discipline, at times it came to a point of self-denial. Sometimes in order for you to reach the goal that God has called you to reach, there's got to be some self-denial. I remember when I was working on my doctorate degree, there was many times I had opportunities to do a lot of other things. And especially when it came down to doing my thesis and my dissertation, that was primarily on me. And other guys were talking about going to do this and going to do that. I realized that I couldn't hang out with the guys like I used to. I realized that there were certain things that I couldn't do. I had to deny myself in order to stay in and research and type and do the things that it was going to take for me to attain the goal that God had called me to attain. Self-denial. Sometimes you got to put your wishes, sometimes you've got to put your desires on hold because of what God has called you to do. We live in an easy world. We want things easy. We want an easy goal. We want something that we can attain pretty easy. But you know, my brothers and sisters, nothing that is of value in life comes easy. You got to work for it. And sometimes God can lift you up and carry you. You know, it's just like the poem that we read the last time I preached, Footprints. Sometimes God, when you get tired because you're trying and because you're doing the right thing, God will pick you up and carry you. But I shared with you the new poem that's out now, right? Behind Prints. That when you stop, God drops your dusty rusty right there in the sand and leaves Prints right there in the sand. All right? I'd rather have footprints than the other kind of prints, all right? So in order for me to have footprints, you know, I've got to make sure that when it comes time for me to deny myself, to obtain the goal that God has had for me, that I need to put what my fleshly desires or what my urges are, I need to put them aside because there's something that I'm doing that's going to benefit in the long run. Notice what Paul says here in verse 27. He says, I keep under my body. Very interesting phrase in the Greek. You know what this literally says in the Greek? Paul says that I give myself a black eye. That's the interpretation in the Greek. He says, I hit myself under the eye. Why? Because I'm trying to discipline myself. Oh, I'm not telling you to go out here and start punching yourself in the face. No, that's not what I'm saying. You know, this is a metaphor. This is a metaphor that Paul is using to let us know that sometimes we have to deny ourselves. And for Paul, it was, the metaphorically speaking, like punching yourself under the eye. He said, I bring my body under subjection. I keep it under. He says, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. Very interesting what Paul's saying here. In the Roman culture, a lot of times when you captured an enemy, what you would do is that you would chain the enemy up and drag him through the streets. And as you drag your enemy through the streets, one statement that you were making is that my enemy is in subjection to me. One time, this was an opponent. One time, this individual caused me much harm. One time, this person was trying to overcome me, but I have subdued this person, and now I'm dragging this person around in the street. Paul said, I bring my body into subjection. He said, I make my body a slave to me. My body does not control me. My body does not demand to me. My body does not tell me what to do, but it's under subjection. And if you could see the picture that I'm trying to show you, you would see that here's my body. It's chained up, and I'm in control here. I'm telling it what to do, and I'm being directed by God. I heard a pastor say a very interesting thing last week. This guy, they got a new guy that comes on Word at 3 o'clock. This brother's powerful, man. He's a powerful brother. But he said this, and I wrote this down. He said, sometimes we have to realize that the enemy is enemy. Yeah. The enemy is enemy. And when we come to that realization, and you know what? As spiritual as Paul was, Paul realized who is number one. He realized who his number one enemy was. Paul realized that his biggest enemy was himself. As a matter of fact, look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. Paul says, for that which I do, I understand not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to perform that which is good I find not. Paul said, my willer is good. My will is to do the good thing, but I don't always perform that which I will to do. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, you know one thing that I've struggled with? I've asked, what in the world could the Apostle Paul be struggling with? To me, next to Jesus Christ and maybe a couple people in the Old Testament, Daniel and a couple other godly people, I see Paul as one of the most godliest people that has ever lived. He wrote most of the New Testament. He was responsible for carrying the gospel to most of the world at that point. What in the world is Paul struggling with? And I have no earthly idea, but something had a hold of him. And saying, maybe there's something that has a hold of you that's keeping you from the purpose that God has for your life. There's something that has a hold of you that's keeping you from this, giving everything you have in the fight. And Paul says, having this struggle in Romans chapter 7, what did he say? I keep my body under subjection. I keep it under, I got to remind myself it's on a chain and I'm dragging it through the streets. I got to remind myself that I'm in control here, that my body's not in control. He said, I keep it under subjection. Look at the intensity of the struggle in Romans chapter 7. Man, that is an intense struggle. And Paul said, I have to master this thing. Because if I don't master it, it's going to get out of control. And it's going to control me. If you don't master it, if you don't master yourself, if you don't master the enemy that's in me, it's going to control you. And if it gets a hold of you, it's not going to be pretty. And you know, we become very ugly when that enemy inside takes control. So there has to be self-denial. And when we have this self-denial, then we are working towards the goal that God would have us to go. And then Paul concludes in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 by saying this. Or excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, but I keep under my body. That means he gives himself a black eye. And I bring it into subjection. He said, I pull it around like a slave on a chain, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, here I am out here doing all this work and doing all this service, and if I can't control myself, if I can't deny myself, even though I might have done this great work for God and led all these people to the Lord, he said, I myself will become a castaway. The word castaway in the Greek is the word dokimazo, which means to become unapproved, disqualified. He said that I run in this race because there's a prize for me. And he said, I'm running for the race so that I can take down the prize. He said, but if I don't deny myself certain times, he said, if I don't bring my body under control, he said, there's a possibility that I might be disqualified in the race. That even though the prize is right there, even though that diploma is right there, even though that ministry is right there, even though that soul is right there, even though that fruit is right there, that if I don't deny myself, I can be disqualified from taking it down. How many people? Look at our world today. Look at these athletes today. Hitting more home runs than anybody in the past has ever hit. On their way to fame and glory. On their way to becoming the greatest home run hitter of a season. The greatest home run hitter of all times. To hold a place in history that only one other person before you has attained, and to be on your way to do it, and all of a sudden to be tainted by being accused. I didn't say they did it, but being accused of taking steroids. Even if they get it, there's always going to be that mark that they didn't do it the right way. They didn't do it the right way. And once again, I'm not here to say they took steroids or they didn't. That's not my argument today. Just by nature of the fact that they've been accused of it, that in a lot of people's mind, even if they attain the mark, and those who have already attained, when they broke Roger Maris's home run record in a season, there was an aspersion cast because in the minds of people, they didn't do it the same way he did it. Hank Aaron, if Hank Aaron's record is ever broken, there's always going to be the aspersion cast upon that they didn't do it the right way. So in many people's minds, what happened? They have been disqualified. They have been disqualified, why? Because they didn't deny themselves. They're accused of trying to take a shortcut. Now, I keep saying accused. They're accused of trying to do it the shortcut way and not go through the process that some others have gone through. And so they're being disqualified. And many of us may never reach the prize that God has for us. Many of us will be disqualified because we didn't deny ourselves. We let our fleshly urges take control. We let our flesh control us, and that kept us from attaining the prize that God has laid out before us. Paul said, if you're going to fight, and you're going to find a reason to fight, he said, you got to deny yourself. You got to deny trying to go the shortcut. You got to deny trying to do it the easy way. You got to deny in disciplining yourself and doing it the way that God would have you to do it. My brothers and sisters, find a reason to fight. And when you find a reason to fight, have some self-drive. Have some self-discipline. Have some self-direction. And have some self-denial. And God will help you. Like the Footprints poem says, when you fall, he will pick you up and carry you in the sand.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Preparation for the Battle from our series, Looking for a Reason to Fight. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 3, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 3. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 3. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, Looking for a Reason to Fight. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 85060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.